Stop by any of the 36 Las Vegas area O'Reilly Auto Parts stores, where you'll find everyday low prices on the parts you need to keep your vehicle at its best. Our guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting our best deal. In fact, we'll match any auto parts store's price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living. We're the only show on international media that's dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and it's 2012. You're listening to the first broadcast of this new year. We've been on the air for 8 years now, fulfilling our mission to transform our world through the power and mastery of human emotions. Instead of more talk about New Year's resolutions, we're going to bring you some help and information today about a topic that's relevant to all of us, clutter. We all have corners of our lives in which we collect clutter, and it could be actual clutter that gathers in your kitchen or your bathroom or your bedroom, but it also could be mental clutter that you carry around in your head about all that you have to do in your day or your week, or it could be emotional clutter, unfinished emotional business that still resides in your cells and in your heart, weighing you down so you can't love and live and move the way that you want to. Whatever the type of your clutter, our discussion today here on Full Power Living, we're going to be offering you some suggestions, answers, and insights. So come along as author Sally Felton addresses this issue. If I'm so smart, why can't I get rid of this clutter? During this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat on emotionalpro.com or the blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living page. And we also have a toll-free number, as you know, 800-630-7858. 800-630-7858. Sally Felton is president of Sally Felton, LLC. She's certified as a professional coach by the International Coach Federation. She's also an international radio talk show host, an author, a facilitator, an international speaker, and a former hypnotherapist and deep imagery therapist. Her passion is to help individuals who are either in a transition or looking for order and balance in their lives. You can find out more about her at Sally, S-A-L-L-I-E, Felton, F-E-L-T-O-N, lifecoach.com. That's Sally Felton, lifecoach.com. She facilitates interactive workshops with such groups as the American Heart Association, hospital groups, corporations, Mary Kay, and associations. And she's co-author, along with Deepak Chopra, of Stepping Stones to Success. And with Stephen Covey, she's co-author of GPS for Success, which she came on Full Power Living to talk about with us last year. She's also the co-author of Clutter Free and Clear, and the author of the Small Business Owner's Assessment Tool. She has another ebook, Start Where You Stand, Finding Your True North in the Life-Work Balance. And her latest book, which we're discussing today, is If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter? I have clutter in my language. So, Sally Felton, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. Great to be here.
Well, let's start with the obvious question. Why is clutter so important to us? Why can't we just live with it and coexist?
How could we? We would be so overwhelmed, so inundated by stuff. I mean, look at what technology does. Think of your emails that come in every day. I just, you know, Eileen, I had my both phone services down. I had no internet for 2 days, and the representatives came in yesterday fixed it within, you know, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And I had 365 emails. That's clutter. I mean, some, yes, you can unsubscribe till you are blue in the face. Somehow they still come back. So the first tip when you have clutter in your email is to just look at the subject line. Look who it's from. If you don't want to open it, don't even open it. Just click and delete. That gets rid instantly of some of this email clutter. You don't have to sit and read every single one of your emails. Clutter. Christmas, the holidays, we just had it. One thing that I did with our kids when I knew that they would be getting more toys coming in around the holiday season, before the holidays hit, I would say to them, what toys would you be willing to part with that we could donate to other children that don't have what you have? So in that regard, we started to clean out before more came in. And I took that one step further. I went to where it was going to be donated with the kids so they could see it's just not mom getting in the car and dropping them off. They saw the whole process. And that's made a real impact on their lives. You talk about why we do have the clutter. We always seem to be inundated with more stuff. What about those parents whose furniture and contents of their house that the next generation, luckily or unluckily, has to deal with? I mean, inherited furniture, inherited stuff. Who's going to deal with it? We all have something. We all have clutter in the mind. We have physical clutter, and we have emotional clutter. It's a triangular effect.
Yes, it certainly can pile up really fast. In fact, Sally, you got me thinking about clutter in ways that I never have before. When I was growing up, my father was in the military, and we moved every year and a half to 3 years and threw things out because we were moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, as an adult, I lived in one home for 28 years, and it took me several years to realize that a person had to go through things once in a while and throw mm-hmm. them out. It was when I couldn't move anymore that I mm-hmm. looked around and said, wait a minute. But you end up talking about, you mentioned how we'd be inundated with stuff, and you're actually talking about clutter on three different levels, which I really like, the mental clutter, emotional clutter, and the physical clutter that most of mm-hmm. us associate with. So I'd like to ask you here, how do you define mental clutter?
Mental clutter, I define, is that running tape that goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's our mind that will not be quiet. It's our to-do list. It's those errands we need to complete. It's those jobs at work that has to be done. It's those projects. It's those unending requests. Those are the things that end up in our brain that we need to take care of. They're always in our forefront. And we're wondering, how are we going to settle this down? One way to settle it down, if you are a list maker, which I am, make a list of what is the priority, what has to be done today. Make that list. Delegate. To whom could you delegate a task? Do you really need to do the whole thing yourself? Many times we don't. We don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about physical clutter, which most people know. It's the stuff It's the physical stuff around us. I don't know about you, but when my desk and office is really cluttered, I become very unproductive. I become very uncreative, and all I look at are the mounds of papers that can be distracting to me, totally distracting. So for me, I need to have clear space. It makes me feel calmer. It makes me feel much less stressful, and it boosts my energy. The notion that I have with physical clutter is if anything comes into the house to stay status quo, a similar item or like needs to leave. That's just staying status quo. However, if you want to delete something, if you bring one item, say you bought two shirts or two pants, three need to go.
Now, Sally, in your book you said two, and as a clutter collector, I was willing to go with that, but three is over the top. You run right into emotional stuff where you don't want to turn loose of things, right?
Exactly. Then we get into the emotion, and that's where that triangular effect comes into play. Say, for example, and I'll say, okay, I went to the store and I bought two pairs of pants. Now I'm saying three need to leave. Two is okay. Now we're pushing the envelope saying three. How many pairs of pants does one really need? And I'm talking really need.
You want an answer to that?
Just think about it. What I did the other day, and I do this twice a year, I go through my closet and I put everything I own on the bed. And I put it in like items. Then I have 3 seconds to pick it up, and I either love it, need it, is it useful? Is it useful is my questionable pile. I will put that in a box, and I will seal it. I will put it in the attic or the basement with the date. If I have not looked in that box for 6 months, I will not open it back up. I will drive it to a donation center.
Well, that's tough love, Sally. I really appreciate that. Well, when you in your book, If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter, you have a mantra that I really like. It's about start where you stand. And I think you've illustrated that a couple of times as you've been talking here. What do you mean by that phrase?
We can say woulda, coulda, shoulda. We can say I will get to that tomorrow. But many times our emotional clutter prohibits us from moving forward. I'll give you an example. The other day I had a necklace that my mother had given us, each one of my sisters. And I decided, as much as I love the necklace, there was a time now that I could let it go. So I gave it to my daughter. And I now can see the necklace on her, where she's wearing it, rather than in my jewelry box, where I may not wear it as often as she does. The same thing held true with when my mother passed away. Her engagement ring was in our safe deposit box. Well, my sister was going to be remarried, and her future husband called me to say, could I buy the ring from the estate? what a wonderful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
First was, wow, this ring is out of the safe deposit box where it's been for 8 years. I would much rather see it on my sister's hand than not see it at all.
Right.
Now, it was interesting. My youngest sister had the problem. She said, I'm being selfish because I don't want anybody else to wear it but Mom.
Ah.
I thought that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody else to wear it but Mom. And then I wrote her back and I said, what's the reality here?
Mm-hmm.
Mom will never wear it again. Would you at least like to see her ring worn? And she wrote back and she said, absolutely, I'm in. Let me buy it.
So that's a really great question to ask ourselves. What's the reality here? Will I ever wear this again? Do I need to keep running this thought around in my mind? Can I turn this loose? What's
mm-hmm.
the reality? Okay.
What's the reality? And if you find something is really hard to part with, you will never lose that memory. That will always be in your heart. But if you can pass along something to somebody else that you know would love it, why not? Start where you stand.
You know, I have had a dear friend who died suddenly 40 years ago. And our listeners have heard this before, some of them. When I learned the news of her death, I fell to the floor in my kitchen and started crying. And I heard her voice in my head. She asked me what I was doing, and I said, I'm crying. She said, what are you crying about? And I said, well, I'm crying about you. I've lost you. And she said, I don't need you to cry about me. And I said, but what can I do? I've lost you. I feel so sad. You've meant
mm-hmm.
so much to me. And she said, well, if I've meant anything to you, would you please just pass it on?
Exactly. Exactly. It's those stories and those words that we need to continue to pass along. Because in a safe deposit box or buried in a drawer or in a closet or in a book, no one's going to see it.
Right.
We need to keep those words alive.
Yeah. In the last month, my husband has been ill, and I just want to comment on a couple of things you said. First of all, we needed to revamp the bathroom and set it up to be able to provide medications to him
mm-hmm.
and keep track of them. So
mm-hmm.
I invited somebody that I know who's a home health aide to come and work with me. And
mm.
we cleaned out the cupboards in a half a day and set up the system, which I was just discombobulated until we got all of that set up. And it really helped to have somebody else come and go through the stuff. And, you know, we threw out medication from 1978. It had been in there for a while. Not my medication. I wasn't holding it for that long.
That's my mother's. That's my mother's medication. You must have gotten it. Oh, my word. Yeah. Yeah. If you have one, two, three, or four is even better. Unbelievable.
Right. So, you know, physical clutter we're all familiar with, but I note that some people are more bothered by physical clutter than others. My sister, for example, could not tolerate having anything on top of counters and dressers, whereas I tolerate quite a bit of mess on top
mm-hmm.
of things.
What
was it? Why does one person tolerate clutter better than the other?
It's interesting you point that out because I've had some listeners say, I'm more creative with clutter around me.
Uh-huh.
Look at artists. Many times artists have sketches all over the place. They like to think in that cloud. It's that cloud of clutter. It's the cloud of possibilities. That's their canvas. For some, physical clutter, they can't control it. So for them, they have to know exactly where everything is. And my younger sister's like this. She's labeled containers with their tops on it, which I give her, you know, I love to tease her. You know, if we're putting the food away, I'm looking for container top number one. Where's the bottom of container top number one?
Oh, my gosh.
And but yet, it's a brilliant idea. You are not going through all your containers trying to find the lids. She's taking it one step further because that's what works for her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what works for her.
Well, I noticed that I was, when we got my husband home from the hospital, that I was actually irritable and awful to be around until I kicked things into order. And I think it was because I didn't feel that we were safe dealing with the medications until we had a system.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I can so relate to that. So relate, because there needed to be some order. You were caring for somebody that you loved. And there needs to be a rhyme and a reason. It needs to feel as if you own it, that it works
yes.
for you.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. So I want to spend some time talking more about emotional clutter, but we're up to our first break right now. We're talking with professional certified coach, international radio talk show host, author, facilitator, and international speaker, Sally Felton. Her latest book release is If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter? And as you're listening to these messages, consider your own clutter. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. We're back on Full Power Living. This is Eileen Dillon, and I have a few announcements for you. First of all, I want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the power and mastery of human emotions. I'm so grateful to you that you tell your friends and family all that they can discover through listening to Full Power Living. And I want to remind you that if you should miss our live broadcast on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, or you can listen to the archives on either blogtalkradio.com or on emotionalpro.com. Those are also the locations of our chats during the live broadcast, so chat with us right now. You can also talk with me or Sally Felton directly in person by dialing our toll-free number, 800-630-7858. So we're kicking the new year of 2012 off with some incredible discussions. For example, next week, Our Do You Quantum Think author, Diane Collins, will be returning to talk with us about how she learned to transcend emotions using quantum thinking. If you recall, that's her idea of how we need to think differently now that we are becoming more conscious. And the show after that, we'll be talking again with Paul Helfrich, who has been a Seth scholar for 30 years, and he will be talking with us, exploring what Seth had to say about using your dreams to make your life better and also to facilitate your death when the time comes. And I think these are really important areas for us to explore as we are coming to fulfill our full human consciousness. So be with us, 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon Eastern, for Full Power Living. I really enjoy having your conscious attention blend with mine. Well, today our guest is Sally Felton. She's the author of If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter? And she also has two radio shows. She hosts the country's most popular self-help authors, goes very deep with them. They're called A Fresh Start and Light at the End of the Tunnel. She's got 350,000 subscribers, broadcasting over 106.9 FM channel HD3 in Seattle, also on contacttalkradio.com and webtalkradio.net. People in 140 countries listen to you. So, Sally, tell us a little bit about your programs, will you please?
Sure. A Fresh Start is all about that. It is giving tips and tools for people in all different arenas, a shot at changing their life one step at a time. Light at the End of the Tunnel is a show that I do with my husband, Conway. He has been afflicted with depression for his entire adult life. We've been married 37 years. And, it was 4 months into our marriage that I noticed something was drastically wrong. So we have done a show specifically to advocate for support, those who are caring for someone depressed, as well as those afflicted with the disease. We have expert guests that we have on, and it is always the third Wednesday of the month. And we're delighted to see the response that we've received from people. They are truly touched by the risk, the frankness, and our approachability.
That's
with
really
this
great
subject.
I know that I had a lot of psychotherapists, such as myself, have depression. I learned many years ago, and it's been wonderful to work out of it. So
mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that. Speaking of that, let's talk more in depth about emotional clutter. How do you define emotional clutter? I've actually never thought about emotions as clutter, and I found that fascinating. Tell us about emotions as clutter.
Well, if you think of clutter as physical, think of the emotions. If you were to tick off the emotions that you have, say each one of those emotions weighs a pound, and you have a backpack, and you're going around doing your daily chores, whatever you're doing, going to work, taking care of the kids, whatever it is. And say you have an emotion that you just can't let go of, and you put that 1 pound into your backpack. Over the years, you are going to have more than just one emotional hit. How many pounds are you carrying in that backpack? For instance, over the holidays, was there a relative that you really didn't want to be with, that you didn't want to talk to? Is there a friend that you have been estranged from? Those are what I call emotional hits that add to the emotional clutter. Does that make it any more clear?
Yeah. Yeah. I just never thought of it as clutter. I did, you know, I have realized in my work that a couple of things that I think are really important. One is that any emotion that you hold inside tends to grow.
It sure does.
Yeah, and so it works nicely if you want to increase the amount of love, but it doesn't work so nicely if you've got anger or rage or resentment inside of you.
And so how are you going to eliminate that?
Well, I'd like, you know, we've talked about on this show, I eliminate those things by realizing that emotions are given to us as tools that help us navigate our lives. And so each emotion, to me, gives a message that we can utilize. For example, you talk about loneliness. You talk about eliminating the clutter of loneliness. Well, one of the ways that I teach people to do that is my learning is that loneliness signals us that we have more energy going out than coming in.
Correct.
And so we need more energy coming in. But you have an interesting, you have a process. You have usually 3 to 4 questions that you have people ask themselves. Tell us that process.
Well, I do. I, you know, many times I will ask a lot of people, are you holding on to the past? And if so, why and what is it doing for you? Does it give you something that you need? Or are you using it for protection?
Mm-hmm.
What is the fear of not facing this? And I do believe emotional clutter centers from the heart. You know, for example...
Yes.
In the book, I say, have you been feeling overwhelmed, worried, anxious, or resentful? Are you afraid of change, and what brought you to this place?
Mm-hmm.
Many times when we think of emotional clutter, let's just pick 1 or 2. Let's not put this all in the backpack and try to unload it. Let's take one thing at a time. That's one thing that I say in the book, by start where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
how do you do that?
One of the questions that strikes me, years ago, I entered therapy, and one of the first things a therapist said to me is he saw me like I had a rope with big, heavy suitcases that I was lugging. This is very much like your backpack.
Mm-hmm.
And I was totally unaware of that. I was so used to living with my emotional clutter, if you will, that I wasn't aware I was carrying it. So if a person has emotional clutter, how do they become aware that they have it?
Is it weighing you down? Are you thinking about it 24/7? Here's an example that I wrote in my book also. I had a very dear friend, a childhood friend, and all of a sudden, she was ignoring me. And I kept thinking, what did I do? What did I do to her that has changed, you know, 60 years? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
I was caught blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her, and she did not want to respond. I thought, okay, so that didn't work. What other technique could I use? I wrote her a letter. That didn't get much of a response, clearly not the response I was looking for. None of my questions were answered. So then I thought, okay, I'll email her. So I emailed her. I'm trying all the tricks in the book.
I'm getting a picture of what it's like to be your friend. That's great. You don't give up.
I don't give up when I believed that the relationship could last over 60 years with all the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized when I finally got the response of we will be cordial with one another, and if you don't know what it is, I'm not going to take the time to tell you. Well, I could do a couple of things. I could rant and rave that I didn't get what I wanted. I could choose to let this really hurt me even more. Or thirdly, I can choose to let it go. I did what I could do. I did what I could only be accountable for. And I chose to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to respond, thank you for your letter. I hear what you are asking, that you only want our relationship to be cordial, and I will acquiesce to that. I respect your decision.
Nice.
I don't know what I did. Will I ever know what I did? I don't know. It may have nothing to do with me.
Absolutely.
I don't know. But I spent months worrying about what I did, what a lousy friend I was. Who wants to be with me? I mean, I was tearing myself up, and I don't know what I did. That's a waste of energy.
I totally agree with you. Speaking of that, in the book you have this really incredible story of a woman you call Marcia, who's a hoarder. And to me, it seemed like the emotional clutter, the mental clutter, and the physical clutter intersected with someone who's a hoarder like Marcia.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you would briefly describe her. Tell us her story.
Marcia was one of the first hoarders, a true hoarder, that I visited. She whispered when I went to the door, and that brought up a lot of red flags right there. She did not want any of her neighbors to know I was there, though I didn't have a placard on my chest saying who I was, but she was very self-conscious and shamed. She wanted to hide. She said to me as I entered through her door, "You're going to have to go through sideways," which was absolutely correct. The door only opened 9 inches wide. And I slipped through, and I was amazed. This was one of the first times I had been hit in the face with a sight like that. There were things pinned in CVS bags to the walls because there was no more floor space.
Wow.
Now, this woman was impeccably dressed. Impeccably dressed. She took great care in her appearance. There was a pathway shoveled from the bedroom to the kitchen. And the only things at either end was a cat bed and the litter box. She adored her cat. There was nothing that I could see that resembled a bed in her bedroom. It was knee-deep with piles of clothes and clutter.
Wow.
I asked where she slept. And she said, "I sleep on the living room couch."
Wow.
Now, it has less space.
But she made a remarkable recovery. You determined, as I remember the story, you determined that this was not a simple matter of clutter, that she needed deeper help, and you referred her to that.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a remarkable recovery.
She did.
Yeah.
She did. And it took a long, long time. One of the things that appalls me sometimes, when people want to help those who are real hoarders, they feel that just by sweeping it clean and getting their space neat and tidy and sanitized, that they're doing some people favors. Sometimes it is abusive beyond control. Mm-hmm. It hurts them to the nth degree. It's almost as if they're being raped because they were not part of this process.
Right.
They didn't ask for this to happen. And I cringe when I see some of these stories because this person has to be invested. And it may not go to the speed with which we want it to, but that's not the issue here. It needs to be at their timetable, not ours.
Mm-hmm. Really good point. Really good point. Well, Sally, we're up on our second break right now, and one of the questions that comes up to me, and I want to talk about this with you, is what if you're living, that's one thing to have a hoarder, but what if you're living with another person whose clutter tolerance is greater than yours? How do you deal with that? You're tuned to Full Power Living, and we'll be right back.
Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com.
We're back here on Full Power Living with our guest, Sally Felton, who is author of a new book, If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter? And Sally, before the break, I mentioned to you someone had brought this up as I was preparing for the show. They have someone that lives with them who has a much greater tolerance for clutter than they do. And we talked about how this person just drives them crazy with the clutter, not necessarily clothing or anything like that, but belongings, things that are dropped when they come in the front door, books they take out of the shelf that they don't put back, etc. How in the heck do you deal with someone whose clutter tolerance is far greater than yours?
Communication is tough. It is really tough. How often do we find that even with children? I mean, they love to drop. And what I did when they were even in their teens, at the end of the day, I gave them a satchel. And I just said, you need to go and clean this up. You need to pick up. If you take it to your room and drop it on the floor, that's fine because I can always shut the door. I don't need to look at it. But when you are sharing common space, this is a problem. And I think it's that you need to come at it from a point of, this is how I'm feeling, instead of, you are driving me crazy with your clutter. You don't pick up this, you don't put away that, you are a slob. I mean, when someone is hit with those words, they shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They shut down. Their ears are closed. But when you come from a point of, you know, this is what is happening to me right now, this is the way I'm feeling, that you have to own what you're feeling, but say it without blame. Say it so you're not shaming them. But come across as, are you willing to help me? It makes all the difference.
Yes.
I had a couple I was working with, and she said, Sally, my husband drives me crazy. Our bedroom is a locker room of sports equipment, and I can't stand it. So what she did was to talk to him just as I have said, coming from, this is what your odor, the dropped mildew clothes, are doing for me. He never realized it had that impact, because the way she was portraying it was as a heckler, as a...
A nag, huh?
A nag. That's the word
right.
I wanted, as a nag.
Right. I heard that.
As a real nag. And
so,
what they came up with was, they would have a laundry basket that he would put his clothing into at the end of the day, and she was the one that wanted to do the laundry. But again, she didn't have to pick everything up. He put it in there, so they came to some agreement of how this would work. So you come up with solutions.
That's a great idea. At least it can be tricky, because my learning is that giving people help that they haven't asked for doesn't work. So your approach of saying, this is what happens for me, and then when the other person responds and said, oh, I didn't realize that, then you could say, can I make some suggestions, or do you want some help with this?
Or ask them, what do you see as being a solution? Ask for their feedback. They may have a great one that you haven't even thought of.
I once had that experience with my previous husband. When our son was small, we had animals, and my husband stayed home and took care of our son, and I went back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I would come home, and my son was a little rug rat, and he'd have animal hair hanging out of his mouth and under his nose and so forth, because the carpet was just filthy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I fell to the job of being a nag.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't look forward to coming home, and my husband didn't look forward to having me come home in the evening. So one day I decided I would do it differently. And I walked in, and I changed the pattern by not saying anything for half an hour. And then I said to him, this room looks dirty to me. Does it look dirty to you?
Uh-huh.
And he said, yes. And
yeah.
I said, if you were going to clean this room and make it clean again, what would you do?
Exactly.
And he said, everything that was waist high or higher, he talked about.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, well, does the floor look dirty to you? And he looked at it and he said, yes, it does. Definitely looks dirty. And I said, to me, a room isn't clean unless the floor is also clean. And he then started to laugh. He was a Finnish carpenter.
And he smiled at me and he said, you know, my job is to get the things with the wood looking perfect. And I drop the chips and the sawdust on the floor and a grunt comes by and cleans it up. I never look at the floor.
Yeah.
And it was a first-time awareness on his part, and we never had a problem with the rug, the carpet getting dirty again once he was aware that it was part of the scene.
But you also were aware that he saw it differently.
Yes. That was a big help to me, to realize that it wasn't something wrong with him or something wrong with me. It obviously had to be that we were seeing things differently, experiencing
exactly.
things differently.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's half the battle, is to understand how somebody else is seeing them. Because you're looking at the same canvas, but the picture's different.
Right. Yep. It was very interesting. And our child, he's 34 now, he was able to survive all of that. You know, another thing that I really like, you've already mentioned you have a whole chapter on how to get through the holidays, and you have some fabulous tips and suggestions for doing that. But one of the aspects that you bring up there is how to repurpose and use things like your children's artwork as wrapping paper or note cards or
thank you notes.
Yeah. Thank you notes. So talk a little bit about repurposing and recycling, please.
I think that's so important. We put so much into landfill every year. It's disgusting. I am a big proponent of giving back, repurposing, recycling. If you have things that you do not want and you need to make a connection with someone who's going to love it, here's the tip of the day. www.freecycle, freecycle.org. It is an organization nationwide where you post anonymously what it is you want to get rid of. You first connect with the towns around you. You post it saying, I have 44 books that belong to my father. They are very sentimental. I would love to find a perfect match. That is something I did. I had 33 books that belonged to my dad. They were navigational. And I just didn't want to just donate them. I needed that connection. Again, emotional clutter tied in with physical clutter. So I received three different emails, and I chose the one that best connected. It was from a man, Eileen, who was a skipper of a boat.
Right.
He had built. And he wanted them in this library because it was an educational vessel. And I thought, this could not be any better. So watching those books leave the house gave me a newfound sense of joy that someone else was going to love what he loved. It's called passing on.
Now, before we stop, I want to take a minute and talk about how setting personal boundaries intersects with clearing clutter. It seems like when I was reading your discussion about setting boundaries that we clutter our lives by allowing others to impinge upon our personal space, so we don't have enough room to feel ourselves or to make our own decisions. And I want you to talk about that, please.
The biggest word that we need to learn to say is no thank you. Many times we're asked and asked and asked, would you do this? Oh, sure, no problem. When inside we may be cringing that we don't even have the time for ourselves. We need to make more time for ourselves. It is where we get our rejuvenation. It's where we re-energize. But we do need to set boundaries. just because you're saying no to somebody politely doesn't mean that they're not going to be your best friend. It just means that you have said no because you're too busy. You know the old adage, you always ask the busiest person to do something
right.
because they'll do it?
Mm-hmm.
I had my master's degree in that until I was blue in the face. Well, no one is going to find anyone else to fill your shoes if you keep saying yes.
Good point.
And I always thought, oh, I'm the only one that can do this. Wrong. You're the only one that can do this because they haven't found somebody else. And it was like a 2x4 being hit over the head when I finally realized I have to have some time for me. I have to do it. I am sucked dry. I can't do this anymore. And they're always asking, and I'm always feeling guilty if I don't do it. And yet, what a relief it was to practice saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have to do it once to experience the relief. Wow, that felt good. I can do this.
I think those are wonderful words for ending the show, which we need to do now, Sally.
Well, Eileen, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure.
Well, I'm delighted to have you as our guest again. And let me remind people that your book is If I'm So Smart, Why Can't I Get Rid of This Clutter? Sally Felton, F-E-L-T-O-N. And that your website is sallyfeltonlifecoach.com. So I really appreciate your profound, uplifting presence in the world, as well as here on Full Power Living today. Thank you for being with us.
Best to you.
Thank you. Next week, be with us when our guest is Diane Collins, author of Do You Quantum Think, when she tells us how to use this new approach in thinking to deal with our emotional lives, to transcend emotion. New times require new ways of thinking and acting, and that will be the focus of our discussion. 9 a.m. Thursdays, Pacific time, noon Eastern time. That's when we'll be having more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. You can also subscribe to our show on iTunes and listen to the archives at emotionalpro.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you, Producer Paul of Fresh Talk Media. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, thanking you for being with us today and reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Something incredible has arrived at Disney California Adventure Park.
Darling, I want action.
We're going big.
Elegance.
And we're going fast.
And speed.
The Incredicoaster is here and now open at Pixar Pier at Disney California Adventure Park. Bring your super family and your friends and come celebrate friendship and beyond at Pixar Fest before it ends September 3rd. Only at Disneyland Resort. Attractions and entertainment subject to change without notice.
Hey, you, with a rhinestone dog collar. Between us dogs, I just convinced my human to upgrade to a new home with a 1,200-square-foot bathroom. I think she called it a yard. With Wells Fargo's 3% down mortgage option, my human realized a new home was within reach, and I only gave her puppy eyes once. Get your human to talk to a mortgage consultant or learn more at wellsfargo.com/woof.
Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Down payments as low as 3% on a fixed-rate loan require mortgage insurance. Ask a home mortgage consultant about loan requirements. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender, NMLS ID 399801.